We left off last week. We were discussing if a person recites a bracha, starts the ball rolling, and then begins to be mafsig in the middle. So we spoke about this in two different contexts. There's the context of Birchas Hananin, which is where Ashtag is started, and then the follow-up in terms of Birchas HaMitzvah. So in terms of Birchas Hananin, the halacha is very clear. If a person recites a motzi, he takes a bite out of his challah, and then just happens to talk at some time during the course of the meal, that's okay. He continues to eat, he continues to eat his challah, not a problem. Obviously, Birchas Hananin, once the bracha starts, it takes hold, so it remains in death. When it came to Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a little bit more confusing, because the Gemara does tell us of a Seches Benachos, at least concerning tefillin, that if a person recites the bracha of Lahaniach on the Shel Yad, and then he talks before he puts on the Shel Rosh, he has to recite another bracha. Now, what that other bracha is, whether that other bracha is an Al Mitzvah, so the bracha is another Lahaniach, that was a little bit of a question, but everybody agrees that when it comes to tefillin, so the talking between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh poses a challenge, constitutes a hefsek. The question is tefillin the rule or is tefillin the exception to the rule? So here the Rishonim weren't sure, what is the din if a person starts to shech? He shechs, makes a bracha, shechs the chicken, then starts to shmooze, and then wants to shech another chicken. Or, probably a little bit more down to earth for us, person goes to the kelim mikvah, makes a bracha, tevel a pot, and he wants to tevel another pot. Or a person makes a bracha, puts up a mezuzah, then he talks, wants to put up another mezuzah. So do we assume that a hefsek, a talking, a sicha, in the middle of one Maisa mitzvah to the next Maisa mitzvah, does that automatically pose a problem? Is that similar to the case of tefillin, or somehow there's something about tefillin that is different? So we left off with a statement that the Rif, Masechet Rosh Hashanah, quotes in the name of the Gaon, name of the Reish Masifta, the Reish Rosh Hashiva, where the Rif claims that if a person spoke in the middle of Tkiyah Shofar, so here we have the model, there are two parts of Tkiyah Shofar, the Tkiyah is before Musaf, then the Tkiyah is during Musaf. So the person spoke in between, so the Rif quotes with the Gaonim that there would be no need to recite another bracha. He didn't say it's okay to talk, but there would be no need to recite another bracha. What is the difference? Manishtada, the mitzvah of shofar, the mitzvah of tefillin. So the Rif explains the difference is very simple, that when it comes to tefillin, when I put on my tefillin shel yad, there's nothing that's absolutely compelling me to put my tefillin shel rosh on now. At some point later in the day, I'm going to put on my tefillin shel rosh. But there really is no connection between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. I mean, we connect them. It's the same parasha, the same batim. I know we call them both tefillin. That's all true. But if you think about it, they're really two different mitzvahs. One is ukshat l'osei adecha, and the other is l'fas benecha. They're so different mitzvahs that the Mishnah says that when a person only has one pair, a person only has shel yad, only has shel rosh, a person has his broken arm, he can't put on the shel yad. So he still puts on the other one. Each one is independently a mitzvah. Whether or not that translates to mean in your count of 613, you count those one and two, is probably irrelevant to this discussion. That's more of a technical question. But everybody agrees halachically, conceptually, they're really two separate and distinct mitzvahs. Therefore, argues the Rif, when you recited the bracha l'aniach and you put on the shel yad, and now you started to talk, that's a hefsek, because there's nothing forcing you to put on the shel rosh right now. There's nothing compelling you to put on the shel rosh. So you basically ended. So I ended the shel yad by talking. I declared, I'm done with this mitzvah. Oh, I want to start another mitzvah. Okay, make another bracha. It's almost like a mashal of the midomah. I shake a lulav. I made a bracha on the lulav. I'm done. Now I go put on, now I go sit in the sukkah. Make another bracha. Again, it's not a perfect replica because there is a similarity, but conceptually, in terms of pure lomdus, the two mitzvahs are really separate and distinct from one another. Whereas when it comes to shofar, so says the Rif, when it comes to shofar, you're forced to continue. What do you mean you only get to blow half the shofar? The Seder Tkiyah shofar includes, in order to fulfill the mitzvah shofar properly, it includes blowing before Musa, blowing during Musa, Yushav, the Uman, whatever the reasons are, there are ices, there are buttons, whatever is ultimately compelling you to do it, you have to finish the job. Imagine about the Kaz going to come, he's going to say, I'm only blowing the first half. Tomorrow we'll finish the second half. Of course, you have to finish the mitzvah. You're right smack in the middle of the mitzvah. So therefore, if you're right smack in the middle of the mitzvah, your talking doesn't constitute a break. It's not a hefsek. You didn't interrupt anything because obviously your das is to continue to do the mitzvah. So according to the Rif's understanding, the issue whether we should or should not repeat a bracha really revolves around one nekuta, namely, are you done or not? If you're done with what you did, then you want to start over again, you have to make a new bracha. If you're clearly not completing what you did, your halacha forces you to continue, then your talking is not a hefsek.
it shouldn't matter if it's over or not. The yad of the rosh is not connected. Once the yad is on, you've done the mitzvah.
Well, the bracha can still be in theory intact. I mean, if I haven't done anything, then the bracha just keeps on going. Well, it's questions. What do we mean by one or two? If you're counting the number 613, there are different opinions. How do you count them? But conceptually, they're really two different mitzvahs because there's nothing that's forcing you to put on the shel rosh. I put on the shel yad. I was yotzei. I want to put on the shel rosh an hour late. I can do that. I mean, we don't do that. That's not the normal way of doing things. But in theory, they are two different mitzvahs. So comes the Ran and the six of the Maror Kamos, and now goes back to the case of the person who talks between one shechit and the next, which again, for our purposes, is equivalent to talking between one mezuzah and the next, is equivalent to talking between one pot and the next. It's all the same kind of a shayla. So comes the Ran and the six of the Maror Kamos as the following observation. Let's pick it up from the fourth line, the end of the fourth line. Tefillin, since the tefillin shel yad and shel rosh are not ma'akev one another, you can theoretically have one without the other. Therefore, it's as if you finished, and that necessitates a do bracha. Says the Ran, the ultimate two mitzvahs are two chickens. I shechted one chicken. There's something forcing me to shecht the next chicken. I can stop, go home. I've shecht 100 chickens today. So since I don't have to shecht the next chicken, each one is not ma'akim on the other. That's the ultimate reading requirement to recite a new bracha. So it comes around and says, if the criteria that you're using are very simple, are you done or you're not done? How do you know whether you're done? If you're compelled to continue, you're not done. If nothing's forcing your hand to continue, then you are done. By shechita, you aren't done. Let's say, for example, the tefillas kelim. I tevil this pot. I don't have to tevil the other pot now. Come back tomorrow, tevil the other pot. Nothing's forcing me to. So whenever you have a situation where nothing is forcing me, each mitzvah standing on its own merits, therefore a break, a hefsek, is an interruption and would necessitate a new bracha. So that's what l'chor the din should be. But now the Ran backpedals and says, no. Ramban v'Rav ben Yehuda is amru, d'lo dami. We showed him the Ramban or ben Yehuda said, that's not true. That the case of shofar is not identical. The hasam beis mitzvah shel chovehein, the kevet shehischu behen, eino bedin sheyifsuch is asik besicha, kein shestein chova alav. Says the Ramban, says Rabbi Yonah, when it comes to tefillin, it's true, we can talk about lomdus from today till tomorrow, that one tefillin is not miyak of the other. But tachlis, you have to put on tefillin today? Yeah. Tachlis, you have to put on shel yad? Yeah, those are mitzvah shel chova. Therefore, if the mitzvah shel chova, you're supposed to do one after the other. What do you mean? Kind of boomer might see telling me it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm coming to chakras. I'm only putting on the shel yad now. I'll put on the shel rosh by mincha. Who would be kidding? It's true. In lomdus, the two mitzvahs, and if you have a broken arm, you put on without the other. I got all that. But tachlis, the mitzvah shel chova, and therefore they're supposed to be done one following another, and therefore talking between them is something which is inappropriate. It's something that you're not supposed to do. And since you spoke between them in a way that you weren't supposed to do, ain't nobody did she, if so, you're not supposed to do that. Because you violated that prohibition of talking in the middle of a mitzvah shel chova, once you start mitzvah shel chova, you're supposed to finish it to the end, and you spoke, that necessitates a new bracha. Aval chacha, when it comes to shechita, diboy shachri boy lo shachri, says, I don't have to shecht anymore. I don't have to shecht 100 chickens. I shecht 35 chickens. I'm done for the day. Nothing's compelling me to shecht the 36th chicken. So once I did it, there's nothing wrong with me talking because there's nothing wrong with me stopping the job. So since I didn't do anything wrong, therefore that type of talking in a way that didn't do anything wrong, says the Ramban Rabban Yonah, that type of talking doesn't necessitate a bracha. The Ramban and Rabban Yonah are putting a whole new spin on the sugya. Whether or not you have to make a new bracha doesn't really depend upon one mitzvah, two mitzvahs. What it really depends upon is, was that an aveir what you just did? Was that incorrect what you just did? If you spoke be'isser, that necessitates a new bracha. If you spoke be'heter, that does not require a new bracha. How can you tell the sheikhin between chicken 35 and 36, you big balaver, you're talking in the middle of shechita? Sure, I could close up shop and go home and eat lunch. I'm not muchir to continue anyway. So my talking was not an isser. So says the Ran, therefore, Whenever you talk with derech heter, meet have ya kavir sudo bechasa. It's like talking in the middle of a meal. Himsach v'yam tzuzu rechazim bevarich. If you made a motzi, took a bite of your bagel, and then shmooze, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no isser with that. If there's no isser, then there's no requirement to recite a new bracha. So again, I'm not going to take sides in this machlekes, but it's very hard to understand what Raman or Rabbeinu Yonah are driving at. So you did something wrong. You spoke. Chatosi avisi pashati. What does that have to do with making a new bracha? L'chore, the question is a conceptual question, an objective question. Was there hefsek? Or was there not hefsek? So I understand the riff, the Rish Sifter's guidelines, whether tefillin is a hefsek, shofar is a hefsek, whether there's something compelling me to continue or not. I understand that mindset. In the world of the riff, we're trying to gauge, we're trying to measure what is a hefsek, what's not a hefsek. So the criteria that we use in riff, did you finish the job or not? If you finished the job, so then that's a hefsek. If you didn't finish the job, then you're still in the middle. You weren't masik. But according to Ramban or Rabbeinu Yonah, the criteria that we're using are you a bad boy or not? Did you do something wrong? Did you do something you're not allowed to do? If you did an aveir by talking, then we make you make a new bracha. And if you did it, then it's okay. We're not doing anything. What is the fact that you did an aveir, that you did or didn't talk? Why in the world is that a geirim? Why does that compel you to recite another bracha? I never understood this Ramban or Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm not sure I understand why that should be a factor. So at the end of the day, we're not sure what the din is. We have a major bracha, like I said, we showed him. Sach ben shchita l'shchita. Sach ben tefillas keli l'tefillas keli. Sach ben mezuzah mezuzah. What is the din? Do we ultimately compare this to the case of tefillin, or do we have some kind of a reason to be mechalek between the two? How do we pask in the halacha and the shaila? It's somewhat of an unresolved question. It's probably better be suffering not to recite a new bracha. We have to rule suffering brachas l'hakel. So the post came right, iruch shchita and beyond, that one should try to avoid the shaila. One shouldn't get involved with this kind of shaila. A sheikh had shechting 50 chickens, he should not talk unless it's the tzorech hashchita. That's okay. But he shouldn't stop talk, because if he does, then it creates a situation of an unresolved doubt whether he's required to make another bracha. And the same would be true for us. If you're putting up mezuzahs, you make a bracha on the first mezuzah, and you put them all up, and you don't talk in the middle. If you talk in the middle, now you just put yourself into a suffering brachas. Person goes to the kele mikvah. You have to table 400 pieces of silverware, make a bracha, and she can be quiet the whole time, unless there's something which is relevant in terms of the mitzvah proper. I remember soon after we got married, so usually what most people do for the first 6 months of their marriage is spend a lot of quality time with the kelim mikvah. So we had all the stuff, all the gifts and everything, with tabling everywhere. Remember we lived in the Heights at the time, so the kelim mikvah was down the other side, the broader side of the Heights. So we were one of the few couples, we actually had a car. So we used to fill up the car every Sunday and bring a couple of boxes down. So I remember there was one couple in the building who asked if they couple, they didn't have a car. So instead of walking down with a shopping cart, so we double dated down to the Kalim Mikvah. So I remember myself and my, it was Shticha Shtak, I'm not sure. Yeah. So we were unpacking all that stuff. Then I made a bracha on my items, and the other fellow made a bracha on his items. And our wives were chatting along the way, so unpacking all the stuff. And they started to talk to us. And we didn't talk. And we forgot to tell them in advance, we're not going to talk for the next hour because of this suffix in the Tosfos and the Balamor and the Rabban about when is suffix tefillah, tefillah is not. So after about an hour or so, we decided to finish the job. And we explained to them, it's a shaila Tosfos and it's a machlokes, it's a Rishayim, a Ramban, a Rabbeinu Yonah, whether you're allowed to talk. But if you do talk, if it's not a tzorech ha-tefillah, so that would put you into a suffix bracha. So we would tell you, fine, not to make another bracha. You created an unnecessary suffix bracha. That would be great. Yeah.
Why can't I say, well, you shouldn't have to be silent until I do beer the next morning because I made a bracha last night?
Yeah, yeah. Rishon talk about that. That even though the real mitzvah that we're doing is actually the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, even if I don't get around to burning anything, I still, we pass a mikra din, you can make a bracha bir chametz even if I don't find anything. So more quotes, there was a practice that you put out a couple of pieces of chametz, so it should look good. It should look like a bracha batala. But the Ramah, it's not a bracha batala, even if you don't find anything. The word beer is synonymous with the word bedika. Why did Chazal institute the Lashon beer? That the Rishon himself started to figure out why Chazal had the funny Lashon. But the real mitzvah is the bedika. The real mitzvah is not really the if I do, I don't find the chametz tomorrow. We'll deal with it tomorrow. So therefore, we can be make a b'shas of chachti that you're allowed to talk. It's interesting. The Tosfos can point out a similar question when it comes to the Lel HaSeder. So the Rishonim and many Rishonim write that when you make an Alech Eles Matzah, so that bracha is going on the Korech also. Because the Korech, we don't make a bracha, Alech Eles Matzah, and Alech Eles Matzah more again. So many Rishonim say, because the Alech Eles Matzah is still intact until the end of the Korech. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you're not supposed to talk. You're really not supposed to talk unless it's in a mitzvah from the time you wash the Sinaim until the end of Korach. So that's not the time to have these grandiose conversations whether the matzah is better this year or last year. That can save that off during the meal. You're supposed to be quiet from the Sinaim until the end of Korach. So some of the posts can raise the question, you should really be quiet from now till the end of Afikoman, because the Afikoman, according to many Rishonim, is also covered by the Brach of Alech Eles Matzah. So that would be a very, very quiet Leila Seder. So the minig is local, we assume. So the minig is on Pesach, on Erev Pesach also, you're allowed to talk. But yeah, you're allowed to talk from now till Bir Chametz.
Then why is it an issue that tomorrow I'm going to be performing the Mitzvah of Tashkisu? And I'm doing the Mitzvah of Tashkisu by an act of burning without a Brach.
Yeah, so the truth is that according to Avraham Jad and Rishonim, I'm not really being Yotzi Tashmisa tomorrow. Because Tashmisa, according to most Rishonim, is, according to many Rishonim, is after Chatzos. So the fact that we're burning the Chatzos before Chatzos is just the technique. We just want to make sure there's no Chatzos around. But the real form of Mitzvah Torah is after Chatzos, which Chazal didn't want us to do because they felt it was too risky to leave Chatzos around so late. And even according to those who say Tashmisa was before Chatzos, Rashi and the Rabbah, they both agree that bittul chametz is the mitzvah. You don't even need to burn the chametz to perform tishbizu. So I did. I said bittul chametz already. I said bittul the night before. So already I say the bits of tishbizu. And even if I say it again the next morning, so we don't make a bracha on dibur on machshava bi'alma. That's what we assume. To get back to the story, everything we've been talking about all started with the sukkah of tefillin. Everything was hinging upon the Gemara Menachas that says that a person makes a laniach. He puts on a shalyad, and then he talked in the middle, so he's got to do something else. He's got to make another bracha. So the question is that even the starting point of the sugya? We've spending the last 3 days trying to figure out, are all of our cases, the guy's talking between the shchitas, the guy's talking here, the guy's talking there, is this analogous to the tefillin or not? So we're giving svar as azoy, maybe it is, maybe it's not. So comes the Baal HaMor and takes a step back and says, wait a second, we misread the entire that the whole understanding of what's going on in Maseches Menachos is totally flawed. And if you go back to the drawing board and you understand what's going on in the Tfilin Sugya, you will immediately realize, says the Baal HaMor, I don't want to disappoint anyone, that the last 3 days of Shia were not really right. The Baal HaMor says, we had put up on a pedestal the Sugya of Tfilin. Tfilin is the ultimate Hefsek, and now let's figure out, is this simple or not simple, says the Baal HaMor. Go back to the Sugya. It's not even true. Even by Tfilin, it's not even true. So what does it say by Tfilin? So let's take a look back at the Baal HaMor, the eighth of the Maamar Kamos. So the Baal HaMor unfortunately got chopped off halfway through the Baal HaMor. So we're gonna mamash a cliffhanger as to what the Baal HaMor is gonna say. I'll fill it in the Yotosh about that. Let's take a look at the eighth of the Maamar Kamos. It's the third line from the bottom. V'yahid the tefillin ein lo shum inyan v'kan. Says the Baal HaMor, you missed the entire boat. That the sugya tefillin is completely irrelevant to this debate in the Rishonim, whether you make a new bracha by tekiyah shofar, by other things. So he says, tefillin is the total and complete exception to the rule. It's irrelevant to shofar, irrelevant to shechita, irrelevant to tefillin, irrelevant to mezuzah, nothing. Why? Lefi daiti, nearly, ma tam amru sach ben tefillin tefillin averi biyado. So the Gemara says that if a person talks between the Shalyad and Shalrosh, two things are true. Number one, he did an Aveira. And number two, he has to make a new bracha. What is that all about? What's the Aveira? He says, what's the terrible Aveira? I put on a Shalyad, and then I stalked, and then I come back an hour later and put on a Shalrosh. What's so terrible? I did both, two different mitzvahs. Says the Baal HaMor, no, its problem is like this. That's where it stops. Tell what it says. I'll fill it into you. What it says is as follows. Baal HaMor argues that even though Tzul and Shalyad and Tzul Shirosh are technically two mitzvahs, you can theoretically do one without the other. The tzura of the mitzvah midda araiso is to do it together. That is the correct way to fulfill tefillin. How do I know that? V'hoya l'chaliyoso yodcha u'zikar b'nechad. One place in Pashas Bo, the Torah uses the word v'hoya. The Baal HaMor coined the phrase havaya achas l'shteyem. That the tzuras mitzvah, the form of the mitzvah tefillah min haTorah, is not to put on the shalyad for shachris and then take it off, put on the shalrosh for mincha. That's ridiculous. Are you yotzei? Yes. Is that what you're supposed to do min haTorah? No. You're supposed to come to shul, put on both tefillin, like every person knows. Of course, that's the Torah mitzvah in the Torah. And therefore, says the Balamor, that requirement that the Torah mitzvah is to combine the two, if a person talks between the two, then he minimized that fulfillment of Havai Achas Tekula. Havai Achas Tekula doesn't only mean that they have to be on at the same time. Means that they're supposed to be mitzuruf yachad, supposed to be connected to one another, and the talking between them is going to break up that continuity of the two different mitzvahs. So how do you do that? How do you solve that problem? I put on a shel yad, and then I'm schmoozing. And then 10 minutes later, oh yeah, but I put on shel rosh. So you blew it. So you put on the shel yad. You were yotzei tefillin. I was yotzei shel yad. I was yotzei shel rosh. But I blew it. I didn't fulfill that kiyum of a high lesson of Havai Achas Tekula. How do I do that? So the answer is very, very simple. The only way to rectify that aveira that you just did, that you blew that mitzvah, is to start all over again. How do you start all over again? Gotta take off the shel yad, put it back in the bed, walk out of shul, come back, put the shel yad. You don't have to do that much. Says the Balamor, I'll give you a secret. You don't even have to actually take off your tefillin shel yad. There's no need to literally take off the shel yad. You know what you have to do? It's just move them out of place a little bit. If you patch-screw them a little bit, push them down a little bit, push them up a little bit, to run it, play around with it in such a way that the tefillin are not munachim and mekumim anymore. And now you're starting over again. Well, guess what? If you're starting over again, what do you have to do? Obviously, you have to make a new bracha. So says the Balamor. That's what the Gemara says. If you talked between the shel yad and the shel rosh, you have to make a new bracha. You know why? Your new bracha is not on the shel rosh. What's your new bracha on? On the shel yad. You got the wrong bracha, says the Balamor to all the Rishonim. All the Rishonim say, the Gemara says, you talk between the shel yad and shel rosh, gevalt. You need a new bracha for the shel rosh because the original bracha was lost in space. So you have to figure out, make a new bracha. Says the Balamor, you're not making a new bracha on the shel rosh. You're making a new bracha on the shel yad. You know why? Because you were forced to take off your shel yad. So you didn't literally take it off. You just moved it around a little bit. But what necessitated making a new bracha has nothing to do with the hefsek of the shel rosh. What necessitates making a new bracha is that you have to start from scratch. So b'mili, you have to make a new bracha. Says the Balamor, if that's the case, there is no Gemara anywhere in Shas, including Tefillin, that says that if you're in the middle of mitzvahs and you talk in the middle, you have to make a new bracha. All the other Rishonim, the Ramban, and the Rabbeinu Yoina, and the Ran, and the Tosfos, everybody's working with the assumption by Tefillin, the Gemara is telling us this phenomenal yisod, that I'm in the middle of a mitzvah, I start to talk, gevalt, I have to make a new bracha. So now the Rishonim are scrounging around trying to figure out, is that the same as shofar? Is that different than shofar? Is that the same as shechita? Is that different from shechita? Is it the same as tefillin scale? The same as mezuzah? We're trying to figure out, is tefillin the model? Is tefillin a little bit different? It says about more, forget tefillin. Tefillin don't do anything. Tefillin, there is no halacha, even by tefillin, you have to make a new bracha. The halacha by tefillin is that since there's a halacha of Havai Achas Tekula L'Shneihem, mainly you have to take off the shel yad, or at least figuratively take off the shel yad, and make a new bracha to start again. So according to the Balamor, we missed the boat. Ein la inyan klal. There's no connection, living and dead, between that sukkah benachas and anything we've been talking about. But then, just in case the Balamor wasn't done, the Balamor takes out all the other Rishonim again. And he says, you know, I'm going back to that Reish B'Sifta, going back to the Rif, where the Rif said, that's terrible. The guy spoke between the Tekiyas of Yushav, the Tekiyas of Umar. What a terrible thing. Does he have to make a new bracha? Maybe yeah, maybe no. We'll be a pimple. Says the Balamor, stop 1 second. What is so terrible with what the guy just did? He blew shofar before Musaf, and now all the chazan singing Hinnani, he's shooting the breeze. What's so terrible? Fish state. Where does it say in the halacha that you're not allowed to talk at that point? Says the Balamor, if you understand how we perform the mitzvah of Tekiyas shofar, you'll understand why it was never a problem in the first place. That the entire discussion, the riff of the Reish B'Sifta had, is a totally, completely irrelevant discussion. Says the Balamor, I have to give you a little bit of an introduction. But now comes the Balamor and presents to you a whole analysis, a halachic / historical analysis of the way Klai Yisrael have been fulfilling Tekiyas Shofar for the last 3,500 years. If you really understand what's going on, says the Balamor, then you'll understand immediately that everything we've been talking about Shofar for the last 3 days is completely irrelevant. We have to take a little bit, I know it's a little closer pace than Rosh Hashanah. We have to put ourselves back into the Chodesh Elul / Tishrei mode to understand, appreciate where the Balamor is coming from. So the Balamor makes a few observations. So Bamor says, I challenge you, let's learn the fourth parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah together. Let's just go through the parak together. We're going to scream a lot in the parak. So the Mishnayos at the end of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah describe the Seder Tkiyah Shofar. The third parak deals with what's a kosher shofar, and the fourth parak segues into how do you do the mitzvah? What are you supposed to do? So the Mishnah describes the following. It's the opening Mishnah telling you how a Jew hear shofar Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says, you start the daven, the bracha of Avos. Then you say the bracha of Gevuros. Then you say the bracha of Kedusha. Then you say the bracha of Kedushas HaYom. V'kolo machias imohem. And you include malchias into that bracha. V'tekeya. And you blow at the end of malchias. Omer zichronos. V'tekeya. Omer shofros. V'tekeya. Now again, whether that's referring to the chazan only, whether it's referring to both the tzibur, different menhagim. But the basic theme of the Mishnah is, you blow what we call today, it's Tkiyas Aseidah Brachas. That is the description of Tkiyas Shofar as appears in the Mishnah. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Those are the Mishnah's description of Omer Malchus for Tekeya, Omer Zichronos for Tekeya, Omer Shofar for Tekeya. All of a sudden, the Gemara in the first breath of Rosh Hashanah says, oh, by the way, we blow another set of blowing somewhere along the way. Lama token kishem yoshin. Lama token. Why do we have another set of blowing shofar? Says the Gemara. That's for a different reason. That's the arvus ha-satan. That's to confuse the satan. That mixes up the satan. Mm-hmm. How does that mix up the satan exactly? It's a fascinating machlokes. Rashi tells us, why do the extra sounds mix up the satan? So Rashi says, because in Shemayim, the satan sees that the Jews love the mitzvah so much. They just can't put the shofar down. They're so excited about the shofar. So that chavivah mitzvah, that's like a good feather in the cap of the Jewish people. That's the ivers of something. So Tosis quotes a fascinating answer. Tosis says, no, that's not the shofar. Tosis says that Klal Yisrael come together in Rosh Hashanah. They start to blow the shofar. So in Shemayim, so the sultan hears that the Jewish people are blowing the shofar. So you know what he says? Big deal. It's Rosh Hashanah. What else should Jews be doing in Rosh Hashanah? He doesn't faze him at all. So he's waiting, he's counted, Kia, Trudy, they finish blowing. Then all of a sudden, an hour later, the shofar comes out again, and they're blowing again. So the sultan says, what happened? The Priska sultan, he said, they were yantinani. They did all the tkiyas. What are they blowing again for? So comes the sultan and says, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. This is not Rosh Hashanah anymore. This is the Kabbalah shofar God will have say to you. It must be this is shofar Shal Mashiach coming already. Shofar Shal Mashiach, I'm going to be out of business. So the sultan gets all confused. Yeah, Sisrei Torah, what this means, I have absolutely no idea. You would think that after a few years, the sultan would have caught on, but it's a little bit slow. It's a new sultan every year. Okay. What this means symbolically, metaphorically, allegorically, is beyond my pay scale right now. But so comes the Balamor and says, if you read the Mishnah, you read the Gemaras, so you get the impression that you're blowing Aseidah Brachas, you're blowing somehow for some other almost less significant, I don't want to use the word trivial reason, but clearly not as important as the Mishnah is describing. Mm-hmm. So says the Balamor, when are these tekiyas taking place exactly? When are these tekiyas that la'arvus ha-satan? They're the tekiyas before Musaf? Is that the Ikat Tekiyah Shofar? The first time I pick up the shofar is before Musaf. And the Mishnah doesn't even talk about that. The Mishnah like totally forgot the tekiyas before Musaf. Opens up with a post-tenity where in the middle of Chazar Sashat, I haven't heard the shofar until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. What happened exactly? So we make this whole Tai Rav of Tech Korach Mizbo 7 times. The rabbi gives a fiery drasha. We get up the Shmeiko Shofar, we bamakim, you know, Mina Meita Karosika. We blow the shofar and da 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 Ashra Om Yadisruah. It says the Balamor. It doesn't say any of that in the Mishnah anyway. Mishnah is not even talking about that. According to the Mishnah, Tkiyas Shofar begins after Malchus. What happened exactly? So the answer to that question is going to force the Balamor to present a very, very unique theory about as to how and when we perform the mitzvah of Tkiyas Shofar. And we're going to see that the overwhelming majority of the Shem disagree with the Balamor. But the Balamor's theory is a fascinating in of itself, and it's going to set the stage for understanding the Balamor's approach to this entire thing. Tomorrow, as we get closer to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we'll get closer and closer into the bits of Tekiyah Shofar.
Yeah.
Depending on how my son is getting out the door, usually 28.